नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम् chapter 6 chapter 16 text 8 translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of a relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that the living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with so-called fathers and mothers. As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother as a result of his past fruitive activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. Purport. When the living entity lives within the material body, he falsely thinks that he is the body, although actually he is not. His relationship with his body and his so-called father and mother are false, illusory conceptions. These illusions continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of the living entity. The great Munis, this must be Narad and Parvat, are speaking to Chitraketu, who knew that these are very powerful monies, very powerful sages, by the grace of this Munis, he was able to get a son, so he might have been thinking that when he was lamenting, he might have been thinking that now the sages have come, so I'll get my son back again, which he did. His son came to life again. He knew they were very powerful. He weren't interested in simply fulfilling his material desires, as he thought they were. Mostly people take sadhus as fulfillers of material desires, magical, mystical men who can do wonderful things to help you enjoy at a higher level of material happiness. So the great sages, Narada and Parvat, they wanted to change his consciousness. In material life, one thinks that if the circumstances change, I can enjoy it. But a spiritually enlightened person knows that whatever the circumstances are, they're miserable anyway. So we have to fully change our circumstances and get out of the material circumstances and go to the spiritual circumstance. Actually, it's not so much in spiritual life, it's not so much a circumstance. Circumstance means that which has come about due to our past sinful or pious activities. Purusha prakriti stohi punkte prakriti jan gunam karanam guna sangasya sadasati uni janvasu. Can anyone give the translation of this?
Yes, I can.
Okay, please give it.
That the living entity who is the cause of karanam is guna sangha. The association with these modes. And this is the code of his taking birth in this world. Sadasad Yoni.
Sadasad Yoni in...
Yoni, Jana. Taking Yoni, taking wounds. Taking birth.
Yeah, Sadasad. Sadasad. Sad. Better and worse. Yeah. We can say better and worse. So-called good circumstances and so-called bad circumstances. But actually it's all bad circumstances. The material life means all bad circumstances. So the sages have come to change the consciousness from material, and this is their real duty, to change the consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. We see here Prabhupada has given a very long translation. The translation runs into more than 10 lines of a normal four-lined short verse here. Prabhupada explains how he's fluffing out the Sanskrit to explain how even in this way, yoni gataha, we get different kinds of bodies. It's very similar to that verse of Gita. The jiva, who is by nature nitya nirahankritaha, he is by nature eternally without identification with the body. But as long as he is within the body, that long that identification continues. Then Prabhupada, in his translation, he's built in the purport, which is implied in what is being stated, that under these circumstances one should not falsely be in the nation. So in other words, how we perceive the material world, you see, Chitraketu, his situation is within material life, within his particular sadasadyoni. It was something, but it was bad in as much as he didn't have any sons. So he was thinking this in the doctrine, actual doctrine of reality, that we are not the body, we're eternal spirit soul. And to change his perception, to change his way of looking at the world. Sometimes people ask us, well, what would happen if all the world became devotees of Krishna? So they may be thinking that, well, in England, into all the little temples of ISKCON. But Prabhupada often explained that, no, you can go on with what you're doing. Of course, he was recommending a more simple way of life. But everything will go on. Farming will go on. Eating will go on. Sleeping will go on. Mating will go on. Defending, to some extent, that's also there in Vedic culture. Kshatriyas are there. But the outlook will be different. The way we perceive the world. Why are we doing what we are doing? That will change. So this Narad Muni and Parvat Muni have come to explain to Chitraketu that they're not the body. He must have heard this so many times. Being in Vedic culture, he must have heard many times that we're not the body. But Maya is such, as will be explained in the next purport. Maya is such that even though we hear this, we don't take it very seriously. Even we find people who are brought up in this culture, that means Hindus or Buddhists, they're brought up in the culture of hearing that, well, we're not the body, we change from body to body. But instead of thinking, well, that's miserable, they've heard it's miserable, but instead of thinking of that, their tendency to enjoy is so strong that they think, well, how can I enjoy in this life and how can I enjoy in the next life also? Let's perform some pious activities and then we can enjoy better in the next life. This is Maya. Maya as such. It's not simply that by hearing about the understanding of Dehanta Prapti, everyone gets death, Hare Krishna, but getting a new body. Well, it's not simply by hearing this that we become free from illusion. That's the first step. It's very deep illusion to think that when the body is finished, everything is finished. Prabhupada often used to quote this, as Professor Kotovsky. He often used to quote, Prabhupada was surprised that he is a student or a professor of Indology. He should know from the text that he's studying that we're not the composition that's recorded sense of self-realization. Prabhupada was explaining this point that we're changing from body to body, but he very firmly protested that no, when the body is finished, everything is finished. So this is very deep illusion, and more knowledgeable is to understand the actual fact that we're not the body, we change from body to body. But that in itself doesn't free us from the illusion of trying to enjoy this material world. Here the jiva is described as nitya nirahankritaha. He is by nature without identification with the body. But even if one understands that, or he theoretically hears that we're not the body, we change from body to body, still the tendency to identify with this body is very, very strong. We find that In Hindu culture, that of course is very much stressed, the family attachments, even it's described, you have to perform the Shraddha ceremony for your departed forefathers on both sides, forefathers and foremothers, I guess that might be called. So you have to perform the ceremonies for them. In other words, you have a duty not only to provide for the sense gratification of your own body, but for the sense gratification of bodies of others. And what's the connection? What's the connection? Because you got this body from your father, and he got his body from his father, and he got his body from his father. So instead of thinking, well, what is our actual connection with all these bodies, with spirit, soul? The knowledge of reincarnation without the realization that we're not meant to enjoy this material world, we simply extend our bodily identification back generations to people we've never seen, we've never met, and we're performing ceremonies for their sense gratification in another life. So knowledge of reincarnation does not in and of itself bring self-realization. In one sense, it could give us an extended sense of sense gratification, that we very piously perform activities to enhance the sense gratification of others in other bodies who we've never even seen or spoken to. But we have a duty because we have this body which we've received from them, which we want to use for sense gratification. We have a duty to perform activities for their sense gratification also. So simply to preach about reincarnation, of course that's a beginning. But even to understand about reincarnation, we can understand from all these examples throughout the Bhagavatam of devotees previously in Maya, Chitraketu was in Maya, how they were preached to about, we're not the body, therefore we should serve Krishna. So theoretically they had not been brought up in the Vedic culture. Not only the Bhagavatam, we see examples from Hindu culture, Hindu society, the people theoretically they understand they're not the body. But without understanding this point, that we're the eternal servant of Krishna, and that we are not meant to enjoy this material world, that tendency to try to enjoy the material world is so strong that even knowing Janiya Shunya Bhishakainu, as Narottam Das Thakur says, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu Manusha Janama Paya Radha Krishna Nabhajya Janiya Shunya Bhishakainu. What to speak of Hindu culture, even Vaishnav culture. This song by Narottam Das is, you'll find in among Bengali Vaishnavas that the songs of Narottam Das, they're well known. They're widely circulated. So many people they know, and if you say these, if you're speaking and you say these lines often, they'll join you in saying them. And then they'll go on with their fish eating and whatever else it may be. It's only theoretical. That I should translate that. That Hari Hari, Narottam Das is saying, oh my Lord, Hari, before they janama gawainu, I took birth uselessly. I got this human form of life, but I didn't worship Radha and Krishna. Therefore, knowingly, janiya shunya, I know, I've heard about it, I'm drinking poison or eating poison, actually eating poison, taking poison. So, even knowing, even if we're brought up, what to speak of a culture that accepts reincarnation, even if we're brought up in a culture of Krishna consciousness, unless we give up that enjoying spirit, then we're going to be an illusion. It may be self-inflicted illusion. What? Closer to home example, we see so many devotees, they take to Krishna consciousness, and then they give it up to a greater or lesser extent. And if we see them, we say, Prabhu, what are you doing? Well, I'm in Maya. They know I'm in Maya, but somehow they're enjoying that, or think they're trying to enjoy it. So transcendental knowledge is required, but actual realization and dedication and commitment to serve Krishna, that may be something else. We see there are so many knowledgeable people in India who are addicted to sense gratification. We find all these so-called six philosophies of India. They're all for gratification. They get all this very high Vedic knowledge, and you may find people very learned, and then they just end up being, they can speak so much philosophy, but completely materialistic. They'll say, yes, we have the different kinds of, what is that, rasa, gandha, sparsha, shabda, we have all these different sensations, so God has made them all, we should enjoy them all. It's the same as Christianity. God made the world for us to live in, so we should enjoy it. It's given by God, we should enjoy it. So they come back to the same gross platform that, well, we should just enjoy. Of course, maybe not so gross, and maybe not eating roast beef and sausages. But the same idea, for all the philosophy, they come to the same point of simply enjoy this material world. When you've studied all the philosophies, we finally come to the conclusion, enjoy. But you don't need philosophy. As Prabhupada used to say, cats and dogs don't need Freud. Article 3 is about sex life, but Prabhupada said, you don't need. The cats and dogs are doing without Freud. The cats and dogs, they don't get lessons in Freud. They just do it, that's all. So, actually philosophy is not required, and philosophy comes to nothing if it's not applied in actual life. So here, the Narada and Parvati, they're speaking to Chitraketu, and they're saying the same things to him which he has no doubt heard before. But they are speaking with realization, dedication, commitment to him at a time when he's ready to hear. Previously he wasn't ready to hear. He asked, please give me some maya. Yes, yes, alright. I want a son. I'm in an illusion. I'm suffering because I don't have a son. My life will be very happy, people maya. That we think, I just need one thing, then I'll be happy. Just I have to arrange this, and then we arrange this and that, and then we find that it doesn't bring us the happiness we want. And we spend our whole existence like this, life after life, chasing after the carrot, the proverbial carrot. We never reach it, and even if we reach it, it gives us indigestion. And then then there's something else. So this is material life. There's some symptom of material exhaustion. If the sages had not come at this time, then by the power of Maya, even though Chitraketu was lamenting so much, then after some time he would have thought, well, you know, what to do? Let's get on with life anyway. Let's have a party anyway. Or another kind of, some way he'll try to enjoy material life. That even he's suffering, oh, I lost my son, but then he starts to enjoy that suffering. This is appears to me to be a characteristic of the British. They're always moaning and whining and complaining, and they enjoy that. They talk about the weather, their favorite discussion. Isn't it miserable today? They take pleasure in that. So there may be just a time when someone is ready to hear. Of course, if we have to wait just for that moment when someone's ready to hear, it may take many, many lifetimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is for anyway preaching. Even if people are not ready to hear, especially in Kali Yuga, people are not ready to hear. In Satya Yuga, everyone was spiritually interested, with a few exceptions, like Hiranyakashipu. But otherwise, in general, people, they were spiritually inclined. And that has decreased and decreased and decreased until in Kali Yuga, the spiritual inclinations are among the general populace. Well, you can see, you know how people have carefully covered themselves in a cocoon of Maya, that they don't want to hear. Or even if they hear something about reincarnation, they take it as some intellectual interest, not serious about self-realization. So it's a very dangerous situation. Anyone born in this Kali Yuga, that Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagya Yupudita, they're not interested in spiritual life. And even if they have some kind of perverted interest, like Sai Baba or something like this, then they get some cheetah, and then they get a worse situation. Then by following such cheetahs, they're worse off than if they didn't have, even if they had no interest in spiritual life whatsoever, they'd be better off than following someone like that. As we find from the Ishapanishad, that those who are followers of the so-called incarnations, they go to the darkest regions of hell. So everyone's going to hell, but if you follow someone like Sai Baba, then you go to an even worse condition. So people are very unfortunate. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva, they have made the formula that the five Goswamis and five members of the Panchatattva, not considering who is fit and who is not fit, because in this age no one is fit for spiritual life. We find in Hari Bhakti Vilas, what are the candidates, what are the symptoms of a fit candidate for initiation? And if we see that, then none of us would be initiated. All the qualities we have to have just to be, I mean, it's practically like being a pure devotee just to get initiated. So these are, of course, these are taken from Shastra, but according to the Pancharatrik Vidhi, if anyone has even this slight interest to become Krishna conscious, they should be given the chance. All right, initiate, give the chance. Come, take up Krishna consciousness. But generally people are not, even they don't have that slight interest. So the Panchatattva's program was to perform Sankirtan, which has the powerful effect of changing people's consciousness. The people are not interested in spiritual life, but the holy names of Krishna are so powerful that it changes the perverted consciousness. It penetrates through the perverted consciousness and awakens spiritual interest. As Prabhupada describes in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the more the Sankirtan movement is spread, the more the seeds of material enjoyment, they become fried. Maybe that's where the word fried comes from. If you fry seeds, that they don't sprout. So in the same way, people's interest in material life decreases, and the interest in Krishna consciousness spreads by Sankirtan. The more there's chanting, the more there's book distribution, the more there's prasad distribution, the more people become exposed to Krishna consciousness. And the more this goes on, the more the Sankirtan movement spreads. It's a cumulative effect. Nothing is lost. In spiritual life, nothing is lost. That refers to us individually, that whatever we do in spiritual life is not lost unless we make a gross offense. Even then it's not lost, but it becomes very much covered over. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? In spiritual life, nothing is lost. Anyone else can get the next two lines? Trayate Mahato Bhayat. What's the translation?
This endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, no little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear.
So in this endeavor, there's no loss. Nothing is lost. If we chant Hare Krishna, that's to our eternal, it's for our eternal benefit. So similarly, in preaching Krishna consciousness, nothing is lost. Rather, it increases, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sankirtan movement, which increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. The more Krishna consciousness is preached, the more the effect becomes greater and greater and greater. And we can see this actually, that in the 70s, when the Krishna consciousness movement was spreading all over the world, in many ways it was very difficult to preach Krishna consciousness. We see Prabhupada was, I mean, almost every time he met someone, he would preach on the same point, you're not the body, and just to get that point home was very difficult in the Western countries because the concept wasn't heard of, practically. It was just very, very difficult for people to grasp that. Now we see that also Chitraketu and so many others, even though they theoretically know, they don't understand, but at least they theoretically know. But in those days, even to theoretically understand this point, Prabhupada had to, again and again and again, using very simple examples, and if you read the Prabhupada conversations, it seems very difficult for people to understand even basic points, the car and the driver. They just like misunderstand the point, and Prabhupada so patiently again and again made the point. But nowadays we see that Krishna consciousness as a movement is well accepted. It's accepted as part of the what's going on in the world. Actually, it is the only thing of any importance going on in the world. And understanding of reincarnation. With many people, they at least theoretically accept that, and we can go on to the next stage right from the beginning, that, well, if we do go from body to body to body, then what are the implications of that? As Prabhupada has built into this verse, into the translation, the implication. The first implication is, under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. In other words, our happiness and distress is not in relationship to the body or other bodies that are related, so-called related to this body. And then further implications are being described in the next verse that will be read tomorrow, how we are equal in quality to the Supreme Lord, introducing what is our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that by preaching Krishna consciousness, the preaching field becomes better and better and better. The more we preach, the more the preaching field improves. And it's a different situation to in the 70s, because I joined the 70s, I didn't join in the 60s. I know from the 70s that in those days it was very difficult to find anyone who had any interest in Krishna consciousness. I mean, I was distributing books in England for about 2 years, and I can still remember the two people who showed any interest in the books I distributed. I mean, people really weren't interested. But things are different now. People, we find there's good interest, and it's a difference. We have different preaching problems. That those days it was difficult to find anyone interested. Nowadays there are so many people interested that we don't have enough preachers to harvest the crop of interested people. So these people are beginning to understand the basic points of Krishna consciousness by reading the books, by hearing the holy names, by taking prasadam. People are beginning to understand that, yes, reincarnation, yeah, is a fact, or probably could be a fact. So there's great scope, actually. The more we preach, the better it's becoming, more and more and more and more. But as I was saying, we don't really have so many preachers of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunate, Maya is so strong. As Prabhupada would always say, preaching Krishna consciousness is a battle, it's a war against Maya. And in the battle, some of the soldiers will be lost. So even some of the devotees who are very experienced, knowledgeable, they're now engaged in other activities than preaching Krishna consciousness. So seeing all the very nice devotees here, it's very pleasing to come to this nice temple under the shelter of Adhananda Nishra and see in the Brahmachari Ashram, the devotees are putting in their earplugs to stop the noise of the street outside and seriously study and see. I've traveled to, I've been traveling in the West now for 3 months, and I'm not sure how many centers I've been to. Maybe 40 or something like this. 40 or something, different places. But I'm here more than any place I'm seeing, at least in the Brahmacharya Ashram. I haven't been in Brahmacharya in the Ashram, of course. I'm sure it's the same. I'm sure it's the same devotees as seriously studying Prabhupada's books. Of course, there are some other. Of course, there are some other books there also, which maybe shouldn't be there. It'd be better not to read them. But I'm seeing devotees are very seriously studying, so that's very nice. I very much appreciate that. That will help us to be very fixed and strong in Krishna consciousness by studying Prabhupada's books. But this study, that is also the background on which we will preach Krishna consciousness. Lifetime commitment to preach Krishna consciousness. This is what I'm seeing, that just like Narad Muni with the Haryashvas and Shabalashvas, he saw such nice young men. They're performing austerities. They should use that to go back to Godhead. So I'm seeing nice devotees here studying Prabhupada's books very carefully. So I'd like to encourage you to make a lifetime commitment to go on doing this and to go on preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, circumstances in the material world change. And although we are in the spiritual world at the shelter of the lotus feet of Radha Nandanishara, Giri Govardhan, Jagannath Subhadravadam, Gornitai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's disciples and all the devotees, that we may not be in this circumstance, although all the time, although we see there are some long-time members here. Just like I was saying when I first came here the first time this year, so Radha Raman Prabhu wasn't here. So I was thinking it's like the pictures on the wall aren't there or something. So they're there. They've been there for so many years. If they're not there, it seems like something's wrong. He was sick at the time. So there are some long-time committed members. Others, they may change. They may take a different position within service to Krishna, Prabhupada, preaching movement. But my request is to please go on with this. Make this study of Srila Prabhupada's books that you're doing so seriously now. Make this the background for a lifetime of going on preaching Krishna consciousness. As you see here, Narad Muni Paramatma committed to continuously travel within the material world and give this knowledge to others. So either travel throughout the material world, or if you're in Soho Street, you don't have to travel throughout the world. The world is coming here, just outside. You'll see people from all over the world. It's a very wonderful situation for preaching. Just like Prabhupada said in Mayapur, that time there were just fields. And Prabhupada said, you build a building, you won't have to go anywhere for preaching. You just stay here, you can preach all day. So many people will come to you. So similarly here, it's a very good opportunity. The whole world is here. They've all come for their material enjoyment. It's a very good opportunity to preach to them. Help them to become free from this false jubilation and lamentation. Actually, here in London, we don't see much jubilation. It's all lamentation. People come with the idea to enjoy, but it's all... Maybe they're thinking I'm enjoying, but it's... You find the mood is like the sky, grey, simply suffering, depression. So it's a good opportunity to preach, just like the people, just like Chitraketu, lamentation. So it's a good opportunity. You give them Prabhupada's books, chant the holy names, give prasada, invite people to come take darshan of Radha Nandanishara. Especially now the marathon, book distribution marathon is coming up, and although Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant to be what is called the Sankirtan pep talk, but actually the two things are intimately related. Philosophy in action means preaching Krishna consciousness. Now we're studying philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam for the sake of practicing Krishna consciousness. Practicing Krishna consciousness means to become free from material life and surrender to Krishna. But practicing Krishna consciousness means taking part in the Sankirtan movement. It's not that Sankirtan is just something to do to pass the time of day or to get someone to say jai or just to get enough money to pay for the boga bill. Sankirtan is the life of the Krishna consciousness movement. There's no meaning to Krishna consciousness without preaching. As Prabhupada said, that unless we preach Krishna consciousness, unless you go on with this, Prabhupada said on one morning walk, then there will be no Krishna conscious movement, because the Krishna conscious movement means to preach. And if there's no preaching, then it just become all useless. Without preaching, everything will become useless. And we practically see that there are centers of the Krishna conscious movement where they're not moving, they're not preaching, they're not part of the movement practically, because they're not moving. They're not in the Sankirtan mood, and it's ghostly atmosphere with all kinds of strange contaminations can enter, because the movement against Maya, the war against Maya is not going on. The war against Maya means to preach, as Prabhupada said. To combat Maya means to drop hundreds and thousands of books in the laps of the conditioned souls. Unless that's going on, unless the preaching is going on, unless we're preaching against Maya, if we think that we'll live very comfortably and just chant Hare Krishna, but that means automatically, as soon as we're thinking of that, then immediately Maya has already entered. If we're thinking, I'll just chant, immediately Maya has entered, because we're thinking of our own sense gratification. Instead of thinking how to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to please Prabhupada, we're simply thinking how I will be happy. I will chant Hare Krishna, I'll be very happy here. And then Maya will come in so many other ways. That you're feeling sick, so you need some Reiki, or something like this. You better get initiated in Reiki. Your initiation in Krishna consciousness isn't enough, so you need another kind of initiation. And so many ideas will come that, we need something more. Simply following what Prabhupada gave isn't enough. We should find out something more. So many bogus ideas will come. And they'll talk about getting more, higher concept, but they'll simply be sleeping. So Sankirtan movement means to remain very active. Prabhupada gave the example. Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this movement. Acharya means he who teaches by example. And Prabhupada showed by example how to be very active in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness movement is not meant simply for sleeping, talking a little bit of philosophy, and then talking some Maya, and socializing, all these things. Krishna conscious movement is meant for serving the acharyas. Tadera charanga shevi bhakta shanivas janamai janame mo eyobhinash. Serving the acharyas, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, by preaching, giving this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, by which people can become free from birth and death, free from suffering, by knowing Krishna. So here we're hearing about the great sages, Narad Muni, Parvati Muni, how they're giving knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they're taking compassion upon Chitraketu. So philosophy we're hearing, and practically we have to do also. We're supposed to follow in their footsteps by speaking this knowledge to others, giving this knowledge to others, by which they can also become Krishna conscious, and that will help us to become Krishna conscious. And practically, unless we engage in this activity of preaching Krishna consciousness, of course there are pujaris, cooks, it's all meant for serving Krishna and bringing others to Krishna. So everyone has their part to play, their role to play. But without that, without preaching Krishna consciousness, then practically we also become washed away by Maya. So it's also part of our sadhana to preach Krishna consciousness. Everyone should do. Everyone should take part in this. December especially is a good opportunity for distributing so many books. So everyone, please take part in this to whatever extent you can, and more, and help to distribute many, 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 many books that will please Srila Prabhupada, that will please Radhana Munishara, and that will help us also to advance in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I have 1 minute here for any questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki